So the Work of Faith and Action missions then started 21 years ago. We started in Belarus, and then the Lord sent us into Ukraine. I'll not go into it all because it'll be a little bit drawn out, but it was amazing how that God speaks to you whenever you're living that life of faith, just waiting in Him. I was the most impatient person on this earth, and waiting in God was the most difficult thing for me. But He taught me over the years, wait, and He taught me patience, and I'm beginning to get there very, very slowly. I hope I've got some patience in my life now. The Lord sent us into Ukraine just nearly 21 years ago now. And the war in Ukraine, you know, we woke up 2 months ago, or is it 3 months now? I don't even know what month this is anymore. But I woke up one morning, at 5 o'clock in the morning, the country that we work in for the last 20 years, and the country that we love, was being bombed by Russia. And it was heartbreaking to see what was going on, as the people that we knew so well, they were being killed and bombed, their homes destroyed, ministries. We had so many ministries, we were terrified for our ministries. And I remember Jacqueline and I, we just sat and cried. We just saw 20 years of ministry just disappearing before our eyes. And I say, Lord, is that the end? He says, no, I'm just expanding your ministry. Boy, did He expand it. I say, Lord, this is too overwhelming for us. I says, how do you serve you in a war? I say, you'll have to show us. I said, we will do it. We will serve you, but please show us how to do this. I say, Lord, into Thy hands I cast everything to do with Faith and Action missions. I said, I need to know that You're with us, to guide us, to direct us, to show us what to do in this situation. And you know something? We have seen Him many times every day. What a blessing it is to be saved. What a blessing it is to serve Him. And to just try and live that life of faith. You know, we talked about the mustard seed in your questions earlier. I said, Lord, please give me something resembling even faith like a mustard seed. I said, because my faith is so weak, I'm going to fail in this. And you know, we cast it into His hands, we left it all in His hands. And what a blessing it has been over the past 3 months for this ministry. This war didn't start 3 months ago. It started 8 years ago. A lot of people forget that. And because we work in the northeast of Ukraine, the Lord opened the door for us to go to the Ukrainian army 8 years ago when the war started. So this was us meeting with the Ukrainian army then. We had access onto the front lines in the east, the Donbass area. You've probably heard it on the news. Donetsk and Luhansk, into those areas that are being attacked. So we had access, Faith in Action, were able to go right up onto the front line with the Ukrainian army, supporting them, helping them, ministering to them, going into the billets, praying with them on the front line, minus 25, minus 30 degree temperatures, really cold. But we were able to go, and then we were able to get into the billets where the Ukrainian army lived, and we were able to go to them and minister to them, preach the gospel to them. And what a blessing it became as young soldiers started to repent and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a tremendous opportunity for us. This young fella here, he was the first guy that we met. He was a believer. And I remember that day as I was preaching the gospel to them, this young fella was sitting crying. He just cried all the way through the meeting. And he said, look, I'm sorry, he said, if I put you off or disturbed you in any way. He said, but I'm the only believer on the front line. He said, and I couldn't believe it. He said, when you started to speak, and he said, I just realized that God had not forgotten me and that the Lord sent you here just to minister to me. And that really challenged and it really encouraged our team that day to know that there was one young believer that the Lord wanted us to minister to that day. And of course, the gospel was preached. This is Yuri. He's the pastor, one of the pastors to the Ukrainian army. And what a blessing it is. Even today, they're still working on the front line with them. We get the photographs through daily of young soldiers, men and women on their knees repenting, coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Platoon commanders, battalion commanders standing with their army, praying with them, believers in charge of these people. This is why they're not being beaten, brothers and sisters. God is with them. And the Lord is helping these. You know, the Russian army thought they were going to walk over them in 2 or 3 days. They're being defeated now. They're being pushed back. And the stories that we're hearing from the army, it's just miracle after miracle of how this mighty Russian army, so-called, are being defeated. There's prayer. Many people are praying for Ukraine today. And many of the platoon commanders are believers themselves. And many of the churches, the believers over there, they don't believe in taking arms. But what they do is they go in to support them as volunteers by bringing this to them and supporting with this. They'll not take up arms, but they'll support them in many other ways. And the main way that they can support them is through prayer. Many people are praying for them. And today we get word back from the Ukrainian army. Get the people of Northern Ireland to continue to pray. This is the one request from the Ukrainian army. Pray for us. They believe in prayer. And brothers and sisters, I believe this is why this war is not over. It could be soon. Hopefully, something will happen and it will come to an end very soon. But what a blessing it is to see these young men and women coming to faith. And just a couple of months ago, I was getting a photograph through of the lakes covered in total ice. And they take a chainsaw and they cut a hole in the ice in the shape of a cross and they're baptized. Minus 30 degree temperatures. How would you fancy that? I wouldn't fancy it. But you know, Ukrainian people, when they repent and come to faith, they make very strong believers. No nonsense. They're so strict and they take a really strong stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this was 8 years ago. And at the same time, we were able to go not only to the army, but into the heart of Donetsk. I mean, you're talking of a city, maybe 1.5 to 2 million people. And as we drove in, not one person to be seen. It's like driving through Northern Ireland and not seeing one person. That's what it was like. As we drove in, we had the trailer full of Bibles, gospel literature, food to help the people, because the war had blown up shops, pharmacies. People were hiding in basements even then. And the big Orthodox, big beautiful building on the left-hand side as you drive in was completely deserted. And the people come out and they used to say, you know, we thought that we were the one true church, the Orthodox Church, Roman Catholicism, really. They say, but we can see that the one true church are here today preaching the gospel and trying to help us. And so we were able to do that, and we were able to preach the gospel in minus 30 degree temperatures, and the people came out. They were so hungry for the word of God. They were starving for it. And what a blessing it was as we were able to minister to them through the word of God. People were repenting and those sort of temperatures. Pastor Sasha getting the New Testaments into their hands so that when we left, the people still had Bibles in their hands. They had the New Testaments, they had the gospel literature, and we were able to support them in many, many different ways. So the work there was such a blessing. This is a prayer meeting that started 8 years ago. On the first day of the war, the church met in Kharkov Square. Kharkov's a city that you hear. It's being bombed daily. And this is Kharkov Square. This is 6 o'clock in the morning. And the first day that the war started, this prayer meeting started. You can have 1,000 believers on their knees in this square, just crying out to the Lord. And what a witness this is. They've never missed a day, even through to today. The church are still on their knees. The church haven't run. They're not hiding because there's a war. They're active. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about how active they are. 3 months ago, people went to their bed. They were able to put their kids to bed one night and give them a little kiss and tuck them up safely in bed. Then at 5 o'clock in the morning, this is what they were faced with, a total nightmare for people. And the maniac in Russia is threatening to do the same here. And young people, this is why we have to stay close to the Lord. We need to be so close to Him. Forget about anything that you see out in that world, because it's there to destroy you. Nothing good in it. It's there to take you away from the Lord and totally destroy your life. That's what it'll do. We need the Lord in our lives, and we need to be surrendered to Him, and we need to be close to Him, because if something like this ever happened, who are we going to turn to? There's no one. We only have the Lord in this life. And this is what happened in Ukraine 3 months ago. War. The people, the next night, they couldn't put their children to bed because they didn't have a house. They didn't have a flat. They didn't have a bed. Can you imagine that? Think seriously about this now. Listen to this. You're given 5 minutes to put your life's belongings into a suitcase and run for your life. What would you take? What would you take? You wouldn't even know where to begin. And this is what happened here. They had to put their life into a suitcase and run for their lives. Ballymoney, you know what's happening in Ballymoney, don't you? 33 believers brought over that we worked with in the villages. We built a church building there. We worked with the churches over there. We get into many, many different ministries. But the church in Stary Saltover and Ballymoney now, Mr. Parks and the fellowship there have been such a great blessing. What a witness to Northern Ireland, to the world, what they're doing. What a blessing. I'm getting text messages every day. Help us, please bring us out. We're being bombed. I got one before I came through the door there of a mother and 5 children. Please help us. We know them. They're from the same village. And we will bring them. We will bring them to safety. But this is what's happening. The pastor and the church that's in Ballymoney, their homes are being blown to bits as we speak. They have nothing left. They've got a suitcase. And that's why I said to you, what would you take if you had 5 minutes to put your life into a suitcase? Because this maniac in Russia, he could do the same here. He's threatening to do the same here. What would we do? We've no basements to run into and hide. We've nothing. We need the Lord. We really need to stay so close to him in these days and every day, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. This is why it's important that we stay close to the Lord. This is a church today. Minus 25, minus 15, minus 10. They're on their knees. They're still crying out to the Lord. What happens in Northern Ireland? We get a wee bit of snow. I'll not bother going to the prayer meeting tonight. Or it's too windy. Or it's too wet. I'll not bother going. Or I'll not stay and remember the Lord at the table. I've got to put the potatoes on, or it's, I've got to do this or that. We find all sorts of excuses here. And yet, the church in Ukraine, they'll not stop. They'll not give in to what's happening. They're still on their knees. They're still serving today. And I'm going to show you a little bit of what they're doing. This is what I'm talking about. The pastor and his wife were sitting crying the other day in Ballymoney. They've lost their home. They don't have anything. But I said, look, you're safe. Your children are safe. We can build a house again, but you can't rebuild a life once it's gone. This is what's happening to where they're living. This is the people here. This is their home now, the subway. Thousands of them piled in on top of each other into a subway. They don't have anywhere to go. This is their life now. And for how long, only God knows for how long they're going to be lying in subways and in basements. People are dying in basements because there's no air. And they're dying, they're suffocating. They either suffocate or get blown to bits if they go outside. This is a choice that they're having today. These people are stuck in a basement. They're lying in filthy subways, old abandoned trains, derelict trains. They're lying sleeping in there. Kharkov station, look at that. I've been in this station many a time. I've never seen a queue like that in it. Hundreds of thousands of them trying to get away from Kharkov, a city of nearly 2 million people. What's the church doing? The church are serving in the midst of this war. Yes, there's a lot went to Poland, there's a lot went to Romania and everywhere else. The church of our Lord Jesus Christ are standing fast. And even in the midst of what's going on, this is Sokolova. We work with Christ as Risen Baptist Church, and I'm so proud of them in a holy way. I'm delighted to be associated with these people. They take such a magnificent stand for Christ, totally fearless for the gospel. And this is some of the young people. This is a Christian school that we have. They're putting mattresses on the floor. They're bringing the people in from the villages. They're going in and they're rescuing them in the middle of the bombing, and they're bringing them out to the Christian school, and they're looking after them. There's over 100 being rescued. They're living in the Christian school now. Just when the war started, we were in Ukraine 2 days or so before it started, I managed to send 25,000 into the bank account in Ukraine on the morning that the war started. This gave the church the opportunity to buy something like 30 tons of food. The churches, it was distributed among the churches, the ministries. They're reaching into children's hospitals to feed them, villages to feed the people. So the churches were good. This is larger families receiving food. Christian families, they're not all their own children. They adopt. This is a ministry from Christ as Risen Baptist Church. If a parent dies, rather than put the children into an orphan, the church adopt them. And they adopt them into the church family. So many of the people within the church, it's all big families, eight kids, 9 kids, 10 kids, 12 kids, not theirs, adopted and fostered to win them for Christ. This is a ministry within the church. Very small houses, they're not rich people, but we're able to fund them, to enable them to do this. And because of that, I mean, you can see the ages of those children. You would not be looking that they don't all belong to the one family. And this is, you know, you could have a family of 10, 5, and 6-year-olds. And it's amazing what they're doing. They're bringing them in, loving them, winning them for Christ. Tremendous things happening within this area. This is a Christian school, bringing villagers in to feed them. They've lost everything. This is Light of the Gospel Baptist Church. There are no Presbyterian churches in Ukraine, no Free Presbyterian churches in Ukraine. Very strong Baptist churches in Ukraine, not like Northern Ireland. This is Light of the Gospel Baptist Church. Through our funding, they're able, the big bins are full of soup, they're full of stew, they're full of potatoes. And this is them going down into the subway. We have the videos of this. The bombs are dropping outside, but the church are active. They're not hiding. They're out there reaching people. They're totally fearless, these people. We need a little bit of what they've got. I'm serious when I say this. And this is them down in the subways, reaching thousands of people, feeding them. And over here with the church singing. Over there, the gospel's being preached. And over there, people are on their knees repenting, coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing what's going on. BBC won't tell you that, so they'll not. They hate Christianity, that's why. But the Lord is moving in a mighty way. The church are active. I have the videos of this church meeting in the dark. There's no electricity, there's no heating. They're on their knees in the dark, preaching, praying, preaching the gospel, winning souls in the dark. They haven't run away. They're not staying at home. They're there, and they're worshiping the Lord in the middle of that war. And they're going out, and this is what they're doing in the middle of the bombings. They're reaching the people. And brothers and sisters, we need a little bit of that, don't we? We need a little bit of what they've got. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to enable us, because that's the only time that we can do this. This is the kids hiding. And their houses over there, they have cellars. And the fruit and the vegetables that they grow in the summer is pickled and put in jars and put down here. Now the kids, you see the big jars all around them. This is the children. They're down there hiding from the bombs, terrified. We've nowhere to hide if this happens here. We're vulnerable if something like this was to begin here. In the middle of all of that, there's new life. Children, babies are being born in the middle of this war. Life goes on, doesn't it? It stops for nothing. People live, people are born, people die, people are being saved. And you know something, the great, great blessing that took place in the midst of all of this was such a blessing. Oh, sorry, this is mentally and physically handicapped people that we help. We had to move 300 of them from Red Oskol, just outside Kharkov, to the west of Ukraine. So 300 of them moved. We were able to be a blessing to them and send a lot of goodies into the people. This is one of our full-time workers in Stary Saltov. He's the assistant pastor in Stary Saltov Church. He stayed there. The rest of the church is in Ballymoney. He stayed. He continues to preach the gospel. He's going around the villages. They're bombing those villages now, but he's out there, Nikolai. And he's out there with the word of God, getting the word of God into the people. His wife and family are in Ballymoney. He refuses to leave. He said, everything else is vanity. He says, I'm here for the end. He said, I'm here till the end. Pray for Nikolai. He'll not leave. he has told us, you know, the first ones to leave were the rich, and then the middle class left. He said, all that's left is the sick, the elderly and the poor. He said, I'm staying with them. He said, I'll win them for Christ. And this is the people that we're talking about here. This is the people that we work with. This is our teammates. That's his wife on the left, Lena. Lena will be here, God willing, next week. She'll be in Ballymoney. We needed more money into the front line. And Mr. Park says to me, Donald, there's a phone number. Phone Pastor Valley in Timișoara. I said, I don't know him. He said, just phone him. So I phoned him and I said, Pastor, I said, I need your help. He said, what do you need? I said, I need you to give me 25,000, as you do. He says, no problem. He said, anything for the Lord. And what a blessing this became. As the church in Timișoara, Pastor Valley and his team, they drove for 9 hours with cars packed with medicine, food, diesel. The church in Ukraine drove to the Romanian border for many hours. Then they all arrived at the border and I got the text message, oh, we forgot our passports. I said, oh, what do we do now, Lord? And then I got the text message, the Lord got them into Romania without passports. How does that happen in this day and age? It doesn't happen. You don't get into a country without a passport or back out. But the Lord got them in. And we got the phone call as they were standing praying together. Pastor Valley's church and the Ukrainian church, there they were there. They were singing, just praising the Lord, crying, worshipping the Lord. And what a blessing that became as we managed to get another 25,000 into the front line. And today the church are doing so well. So many good things have happened. You know Mr. Moffat from Bangor Church. He drove an MPV out for us there just a few days ago, and it's arrived in. I don't have the photographs yet or the videos downloaded. I haven't had time to do it. But the MPV is now being used on the front line to go in and rescue people. We've got the videos of what he did, bringing people to safety, reaching them and bringing them out, and bringing food in to feed the starving. So the beginning of Wisdom Christian School, just a little bit of the things that we are involved in Ukraine. 20 years ago, you probably know Mark Linton on the left. Mark's been out a lot of times with us from Makerfeld Church. This is Pastor Sasha. He was here. This is a man who was at this church. Him and Pastor, two Pastor Sashas, funny enough. And there was Mr. Abernethy from Portadown. He was in Antrim at the time. And they all became very good friends. And we went 21 years ago to support Pastor Sasha there. He was the headmaster of the beginning of Wisdom Christian School. 5 kids, no equipment. The government told him, if you open this school, we'll crush you. There's no Christian schools in Ukraine. Sasha said, I'll obey God and not man. He opened the school, and the opposition he faced was horrendous. But the Lord sent us over, and we opened the school with the 5 kids and the teachers. And praise the Lord that today there's 190 children in the school now. We didn't listen to the authorities. In fact, the authorities came to us about 5 years later and they said, why is your school so different from ours? We said, what do you mean? We wanted them to tell us the difference. They don't drink. There's no smoking. There's no drugs. There's no bad language. Why is that? We said, Christ makes a difference. What do you mean? Will you come and teach our schools these Christian ethics? And what a blessing that became. As we went through the Orthodox state schools, they were hearing the gospel for the very first time. The Orthodox priests were going mad. They always go mad when they see us coming anyway, so they do. But the gospel was going into the Orthodox church. The gospel was going into the Orthodox families. And what a blessing that became. As the headmasters and the teachers began to get saved, there was chaos in the Orthodox schools. The gospel was going through it like a knife through butter. The power of the gospel was going through the Orthodox schools. And today, in the beginning of Wisdom, we have ex-Orthodox headmistresses, headmasters, school teachers saved and fighting for the Lord. And this was such a blessing. Only God could do this. Only God could open this door. And it was a tremendous opportunity. This is the work that we do among the sick in the villages. It's like Ireland 400 years ago sort of thing. This little lady here, very extreme. We met her for the first time. You can see she's no legs. So very poor. She lives in a wee shack and she doesn't even have a chair in the house. She lies in an old filthy, like a stretcher sort of thing. And I said, do you need anything? She says, yes. You know what she said? She could have asked for anything. She said, I need to be baptized. She says, I'm a believer. She says, I'm saved 20 years, but I've never been to a church. We have no churches. She said, but I'm saved 20 years, and I need to be baptized. And it was a blessing to meet this believer. And we were the first believers that she had ever met outside of her mother. And we baptized her in an old rusty bath that she had lying out the back. And never asked for another thing. Had no money, no food, didn't care. She said, I just want to be baptized and follow Christ. And what a blessing that became, meeting her. The Drug and Alcohol Rehabilitation Center, we're trying to get Chris to go with us, but he's not too well at the minute. And, well, we can't get there at the minute anyway, but the Drug and Alcohol Rehabilitation Center, we believe here in the rehab that we don't take the drug addicts or alcoholics from one drug to a lesser drug till they're free. We believe that 6 months intensive Bible study will set anybody free. And this is exactly what's happening. As men and women go through the biblical course, they're being set free. We were preaching the gospel. This young man here came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These people are becoming pastors. They're becoming missionaries in Ukraine. Tremendous things are happening within the rehabilitation center. This is the foster families a little bit. That's the pastor Pastor Paul, Pastor Pavel. I would love you to meet this man. He's infectious. See his love and his service for the Lord. It's absolutely infectious. We built a care home, the first Christian care home in Ukraine. And his church, that Christ is Risen Baptist Church, the authorities came just about a year before the war and they tried to close it down. They were persecuting the believers a bit. And they came to him to close it down and he said to the police, you will not touch this building. He said, the glory of God hovers over this building. He said, and we will fight you. We will go to prison. We will die for the sake of the gospel and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Ukrainian attitude to the gospel and to Christianity. He said, now go away and never return here, or God will deal with you. And they never came back. They left. And the House of Hope and the Christian school is still standing today. This is him here, Pastor Paul. This is the children I'm talking about, reaching the kids, orphaned. This little girl and her three siblings, her mother and father, died. They were going to be taken and put into care. They ran away. They hid in a graveyard. And over there, the Orthodox Church, they're very superstitious. They believe in bringing food to the graveyard for the spirits. The kids thought this was Christmas. So they were eating the food that was being left. They stayed alive through taking that food. And then Pastor heard about the children, went to the graveyard, rescued them, took them there. This was 4 years ago. The children, I now have a family and saved. And this is a great, great ministry. There's about 150 children and young people in their church. So a great ministry in reaching the people, the young people. The village ministries, this is Roman. They go to Pastor Pavel's church. They live in a village. It's quite extreme. They use their little house to preach the gospel. Orthodox priest wasn't happy because he's losing money. Souls are being saved and he's not happy. So he put a curse upon their house and their house burnt to the ground at 4 o'clock in the morning. Obviously somebody's up to no good somewhere. But anyway, we managed to build our house up again for them. It's a new kitchen. £500 puts a new kitchen. It's not good materials. It looks lovely, but it's not good materials. But now they're preaching the gospel again. And the Orthodox priest is pulling his hair out that they're back in business again. Ministry to the needy that we've been involved in. This is a village meeting in the summer. Meeting lasts for two and a half hours. You get into the village and the villagers come out. They want to hear the gospel. And the songs are sung, the testimonies, the gospel's preached. And it's always fruitful in these villages. That's Jacqueline on the right leading these three women to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ from the village. It's such a fruitful ministry in the villages, but also a very dangerous ministry because the villages are full of the occult and it's an extremely dangerous place. And 4 years ago, Yuri, the big man there, When we went into the village, we started to preach the gospel. He attacked us with a knife this size. And he pinned one of our team up against a tree with the knife at his throat and said, if you preach this gospel again, I'm going to decapitate you. So this is what we're up against in the villages. So every time we go there now, I sit beside him. Tells you to keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. So RUC taught me that. Sit beside him. So every time we go there now, I sit beside him. But the Lord, there's a great work going on in this man's heart. The softening from the occult. And he's so close to coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just pray for him that the Lord will save him. The House of Hope we built 3 years ago. This has become such a blessing. And today, Pastor Pavel not only has the church and the Christian school, but now the Christian care home. And the people are being brought from all the villages. There's over 100 sick elderly people living here. It hasn't been touched by nothing. We need your prayers, brothers and sisters. We really do need lots of prayer for this place. So many elderly sick people living here. And the Russians are bombing 20 minutes from here. So please pray that the Lord, I believe that there's a dome of prayer over this place. There really is. And over the Christian school. It hasn't been touched. I got a text from Pastor Pavel not long ago. He said the Russian tanks are heading in our direction. He said they're 7 kilometers away. Pray that they go the other road. There was two roads. One took them right through the House of Hope and one took them away. And many people prayed. And I got the video of all the old folks and the pastor on their knees in the corridor singing and praying that the Lord would take them in another direction. And then we got the call that they had taken the other road. So the House of Hope tonight is standing, and what a ministry they're doing. It's incredible what's going on at this place. They're going into all the bombed areas in Kharkov. You've heard of Kharkov many times, and this is what they're doing. They're going into the sick, to the elderly, to the young people where it's being bombed. They've lost their homes. They're sitting in pavements, and they're bringing them out. They're bringing them to the House of Hope. This is the ones, the disabled, who are left in the high-rise flats. Nobody will help them. There's no elevators. But the church care and the church are going to them. And they're rescuing the disabled. And they're bringing them out. And this is them being taken to the House of Hope. And they're going to find refuge there. If they can't walk, if no wheelchair, they're carried from the top down into the minibus. And what a ministry this is that's going on. It's Dr. Luba on the left. This is Pastor Pavel's daughter. She's a doctor in the villages. And when we go to the villages, Luba will come with us. And we go into the sick. It's full of sick people, the villages. Very poor, very sick people. And we go into the houses, and Luba looks after the body. And she goes and takes their temperatures and their blood pressure and medication she gives to them. And we look after the person first. And then she says, Donald, it's over to you. And then we minister to them. And you know something? What a combination. What a combination. We follow the example of Christ. He fed them. He healed them. We can't heal them, but we can certainly help them. And we go to them. We help the person. We help the body. And see, when people see that we care for them and love them, they respond to the gospel. And what a blessing this has become as we go with Dr. Luba. We minister to the body and to the soul, and it's so fruitful. This lady here is 92, totally blind, but she would have died. But the church went for her, and they brought her out, and they brought her to the House of Hope. They brought her to safety. That's the House of Hope. That's all the rescued ones sitting having their dinner in safety. And they'll not be unbelievers for too long. Nobody stays in that place without hearing the gospel every day. This is the old folks that we're able to rescue and just bring them in and love them and care for them and just to win them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Great ministry taking place. Many people being saved there. This is the outcome of them being saved. They're following Christ. Again, I'll tell you, I don't believe in this little prayer and you're saved and you're going to heaven. We need to follow him. We need to follow Christ closely. That just says, Veru, believe. And this is the elderly and the sick being baptized, absolutely freezing water too. I wouldn't go in. There's Pastor Pavel there, Natasha, 85 years of age, heart attack, stroke victims, cancer victims, They don't care what's wrong. They just want to obey the word of God. They want to follow Christ. And this is just a steady stream of sick elderly people just going in to be baptized. This is just a couple of weeks ago. We sent the ambulances. They needed ambulances in Kharkov. So we were able to send the ambulances out, fully kitted out for Kharkov and to go into the danger zones. And that was them arriving safely over there. So what a blessing they became. This is them being passed on. I got the video of this with Pastor Pavel. And this is the volunteers. This is the Christian volunteers. They'll not take weapons, but they help in these ways. They pick up the tools and the aid that's needed to help them in different ways. So that's them being used there. The prison ministry that we're still involved in, still going on. Prisoners are being saved daily, as always. We've been involved with this for 20 years. It's a little bit dark, that one, but that's 1,000 women. You go into the women's prisons and the men's prison, and you can hear a pin drop, the respect that they have for the teams as we go into the prisoners. And you think, women don't do bad things. Ladies, you're every bit as bad as the men. And it's sin that's causing that. But this is women coming to repent, and we give them two Bibles, one for themselves and one to pass on to an unbeliever. You think, what would they do? One of the women very close to us there, she's there. The government were coming to take her two children from her, and she left them in the forest and they froze to death rather than give them to the orphanages. Another one, they were coming to take her two children. She set them on fire. She murdered her two children. And another one, she was babysitting a newborn baby for her brother and decapitated the baby. And I know they're horrible stories and it's not nice to hear, but this is the reality of who we're reaching. These are the people that we're trying to reach with the gospel. What do you think? Do you believe the grace of God can reach these people? What do you think? Yes. Absolutely. You know, if we don't believe that the grace of God can reach people like this, stay in the house and watch Coronation Street or something like that. The grace of God reaches from the uttermost right to the very gutter. It really does. We are seeing the gospel transforming lives daily. Drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes, thieves, robbers, mafia, terrorists. We're seeing it all. The gospel is changing lives. Doesn't matter who they are. The power of the gospel, the dynamite of the gospel, you can fight it all you want, but see, when the Lord's you're targeted, nothing you can do about it. The gospel is breaking through the hardest and coldest hearts. And it's a privilege to be associated with this for 20 years. Baptism. You've probably got one of those baptismal tanks in the garden for the kids. But this is the authorities, they don't understand. The love is coming. They say, please never stop this great work. They don't understand. And they give you this wee baptismal tank with that much water. And we believe in total immersion, so you're sitting on them to make sure they're under. And the authorities are saying, you're going to drown them. You're going to drown them. So we really, when I was in the police here, I had a great vision for the police in Ukraine at the time, very corrupt police force. And I kept praying, I said, Lord, let me speak to the police. There's thousands of them, huge academies. And I remember sitting in Newton Ars one day, and he says to me, right, on you go, speak to the police. And we went over, and I says to the pastor, we have to go and speak to the police. And he sort of raised his eyebrows because nobody trusts the police. And he said, are you sure? I said, yes. And he came back an hour later. He said, I can't make any contact. I said, I think maybe you got it wrong. I said, no, I know what the Lord says. I know what the Lord told me. So we left it at that, and we left the house, and we were driving through the city, and the driver, Volodya, says to me, he stopped here, and he said, oh, maybe God wants us here. And I said, what's this? They said, this is the headquarters of the state security police, the KGB. He said, this is the KGB headquarters. This is where the believers were taken and tortured and put to death for many years. He said, maybe God wants us in here. He said, this isn't the ordinary policeman. He said, this is as high as it goes, the state security police. So to cut a long story short, I went through the front door and I was greeted. You know the films you see with the big men with the big black leather coats? That's true. He was standing waiting for me. And he wasn't too pleased to meet me when he heard I was a believer. So at the end of the day, I demanded that I meet the boss anyway. And you usually get an appointment maybe 4 or 5 weeks later. 9 o'clock the next morning, we were sitting in front of him. Many people were praying here for us. And we went in, and this is him. It's a wee bit blurry. My hands were shaking. I read the note was on the wall. It said, "Our enemies will disappear like the dew in the grass." The Christians were the enemies of the KGB. Many were put to death by the KGB. Many tortured. And we went in. General Sergei Gusarov, he's the top man in the KGB. And we went through all the formalities with him. And then he said, "Why are you in my country? You're a Christian. Why are you here?" I said, "We're here to share the love of God with your people." And I saw the softening coming in. And he said, "Will you help me?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "We work with lots of criminals. Can you help us with shoes and socks and things like that?" I said, "Only if you let me preach the gospel." And you could see him thinking about it. And I thought, I'm pushing this too far here. I'm going to end up in one of these holding centers. And he says to me, "Okay." So the next thing was he took me and Joe and we put us into the back of the KGB arrest van. Now, our team was sitting in the minibus. They thought we had been arrested and taken away to prison. But we weren't. The Lord opened an amazing door for us. And this was the state security. This is the KGB holding centers. And as we went in here, we couldn't believe that the Lord had opened this amazing door. We were the only team in Europe, Eastern Europe, who had access to the KGB. And what a blessing this work became. Many, many criminals in this building, KGB guards included. As we went in, it was like going back to Sunday school, primary one, class one Sunday school. They knew nothing about Christ. We had to start right at the very beginning with them. And as we went through, the people started to repent and come to faith. The KGB guards were sitting reading their Bibles because we made sure they got a Bible. And they were all sitting reading their Bibles. The gospel was being preached. And what a blessing that became for many, many years. What a blessing. God, only God can do this. Is that right? Only God can open doors like this. And such a blessing. I'll come back to that. I want to finish with this here. We have the farm ministry on the Russian border that's being bombed. I think we've lost the farm minister, so that's one ministry gone. This is the outcome of helping people with the farm. Gospel meetings in the Russian border. This is a fireman coming to faith just 5 months ago. Before he left, he said, "Oh, my brother Nikolai is an ex-policeman like you." He said, "Will you help him? He's dying." Spoke to Nikolai. He said, "Nikolai, it's time to repent and come to faith in the Savior." He says, "I need to do it now." He died 2 weeks after that photograph. And this is the farm ministry. This is the people that we can meet. I got a call in the village that day. They said, "Don, will you come and speak to my dad? He's an unbeliever. None of us believe, but he needs to be talked to. And he's dying. He only had days to live." We said, you need to repent. He came to faith in the Savior that day. This is village work. People are poor, needy. They know they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, which is good. Their hearts are soft. And it makes it that little bit easier. This man here, his job was clearing the debris from the Chernobyl nuclear reactor. And his job was on the roof, clearing the nuclear waste off the roof of Chernobyl. You can see the state of him now. He's like a ghost. He's like a skeleton. He's lost one leg. His second leg is beginning to rot. Michael, he's not saved. Nice man. Please pray for Michael, that Michael will come to faith in the Savior soon. I'm nearly finished. That was just before the war started. And we're in this village. The lady in the middle is a believer. Her son, Sash, is a Muslim. And I remember meeting him for the first time just not long ago too. It was so unbelievable that I can't meet him anymore. And, you know, I said, "Sasha, what do you work at?" He said, "I'm a shepherd." I said, "It's funny enough." I said, "I know a shepherd, and he's a good one." He says, "Really, what's his name?" I says, "Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God." I said, "He came into the world and he died for your sins upon the cross." I said, "He's not only a good shepherd," I said, "he's a great shepherd." I said, "Because he rose from the dead after 3 days. I said, "Where's Muhammad?" He said, "Oh, he's still dead." I said, "No, my Savior's alive." I said, "And he's died for your sin." I said, "He's not only a great shepherd, he's a chief shepherd." I said, "He's coming back again." I said, and one day we're all going to be with him. Everyone who loves him and follows him and believes in him will be living with him one day. He said, I need to trust in this shepherd. And it was a blessing that day for this Muslim to come to faith in the Savior. This sister here, every time we're in the village, we preach the gospel in her home. The husband's an unbeliever. Hears the gospel. Nice man. Allows us to preach the gospel in his garden and in the village. We would never turn to the Lord. And then I get the call. We were in the village. Donald, will you come round? He's taking a stroke. So as soon as I walked into the house, that was him. He just started to cry. I said, are you ready yet? He says, I'm ready now. I said, why did you wait so long? And brothers and sisters, isn't that true? We continue to put the Lord off. Even as Christians, we don't listen. We need to listen. We need to be listening to the Savior. We need to be listening for his voice. You know, it's great that we're saved. It's even better that we can serve him. We're saved to serve, aren't we? And we need to be listening. Right, want to finish with this one because my time's gone, hasn't it? Yeah, well gone. I'm sorry, very sorry, but I want you to hear this. We worked with the KGB. This is Peter. Peter was a KGB assassin. Peter used to kill people for the KGB. And the KGB turned on him and shot him twice. They tried to kill him. He survived the attack, became a believer. So we serve alongside Peter in the hospitals as we preach the gospel to the sick. That's his job now, ministering to the sick. What an evil man he was. And the power of the gospel transformed this man's life incredibly. Incredible what happened in this man's life. Whenever you try to sit with him over a cup of tea or a coffee, Peter, what happened? My life is about Christ. That's all he would say. He said, now I'm here to glorify my Savior. Would never tell you any more than that. But he told us about his father being sentenced to death by hanging for his faith. This is Ukraine. These people will die for their faith. They'll not hide when it's raining. They'll not hide when it's snowing. They'll not hide when it's a windy night. They'll die for their faith. He said he was sentenced to death by hanging, but they changed their mind and gave him 12 years in the Siberian Gulag, the death camp in Siberia, 12 years. His father said in one night it became the coldest place on the planet, minus 70 degrees. Two-thirds of the prisoners died. The next day he was trying to bring the corpses together, putting them into holes. And two KGB guards came to him and said, do you have a good God? He said, I have a great God. He said, that's why I'm here. He said, my God is so good, he's brought me here. He said, well, let's hold your hands out and we'll see how good he is. And they held his hands out and they broke both of his hands with an iron bar. They said, now we'll see how good your God is. Because now you can't work, so you'll not eat, so you'll die quickly. He said that the Christians in the camp started to share their rations with him, but they were getting so little, it began to affect them. He knelt down in the snow and he said, Father, just take me home. He said, my brothers are suffering. The KGB came to him and said, if you just deny Christ, we'll let you go home to your family. He said, I'll never deny Christ. He said, well, if you just destroy the little Bible that you have, tear it in two, he said, and we'll let you go. He said, this is the word of God. He said, it's indestructible. He said, I'll not be, he said, you can kill me now. And they said, no, we'll let you die slowly. So over the next lot of weeks and months, he started to get weaker. He knelt down and said, Father, take me home. And the Lord spoke to him that day. He said, I promise that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, the Lord led him into a forest and there was a loaf of bread under a tree. He said, I don't know who put it there. I don't know how it came to be there. He said, but that there was there every day. 12 years he went through in a death camp. Unheard of. A believer will die very quickly in a death camp. He went through 12 years, come home to his family. Do you know what God did for him? Household salvation. Not 2, 3, 4, 5 kids. 17 kids. Peter, number 17. The one that they thought could never be saved. He was so evil. The Lord saved them. What verses spring to mind? There's loads, isn't there? Those who honour me, I will honour. Great is thy faithfulness. This is our God. He's so faithful. But we need to be honouring him. We really do. It's not about a great education or position in this world. It's about total surrender. We need to be giving Christ everything. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. That's what we can all cry, isn't it? But we have to mean it. There's no point in reading that and talking about it if we're not going to believe it and live it out in our lives. It's no longer me. It's Christ. And we need to give him everything that we have while we can. We're only here for a short time. Forget what the world has and what the world wants to give us. All for Jesus is the song that we sing. Do we really mean that? You know, when I see these things, I work with these people. I have men and women who go on first trips and they sit and they cry. I say, what's wrong with you? I don't think I'm saved. My Christianity is not on this level. I said, no, you are saved. I said, this is just another level of Christianity where people will die for Christ. The grace of God, brothers and sisters, we need the grace of God in our lives for those situations. And this is what's happening here. And at the start of the war, I said, Lord, why? Why is this happening there and it can't happen here? Because we don't see these things anymore. We don't see people being saved hardly anymore. We hardly get an unbeliever walking through our doors anymore. People are so indifferent, cold, hard towards the gospel. I say, Lord, why? Why can these people do this? Why are people repenting in their droves over there and we can't see one here? Do you know what he says to me? He said, those people are still at the cross. That's what he said. He said, they haven't moved. They're still at the cross. He said, this is why they can stand in the middle of wars and in persecution. He said, this is why they can die for me. Because they haven't moved from the cross. And then when I come home here, sickening, really ashamed. I've got the church from Ukraine and Ballymoney. I'm scared to take them around churches here. I'm scared. I'm afraid. Because I know what they're going to think. They'll not say nothing, but they'll think it. We need to get back to the cross here, brothers and sisters. We really do. We need to get back to where we were at the start. Do you remember the night that you got saved and were on our knees, begging the Lord's forgiveness, believing in him, promising to follow him and trust him? We need to get back there again. And I don't mean by reading about it. I mean to such an extent that we can almost feel what he felt at that cross. That we can almost take part in that suffering that he endured. So much so that it does impact our lives. Where it will transform us. That we will surrender everything to him. And I believe that if we can get back to that cross, we'll never miss another prayer meeting again. We'll never miss another Bible study again. We'll never walk away from the Lord's table again. We'll love him more. We'll pray more. We'll read our Bibles more. We'll not argue and bicker anymore. If we get to the cross, all of that will end. But we need to get to the cross. And I believe if we can get there, the people out there are going to see this. They will notice this. It'll impact their lives. The fragrance of Christ will go with us everywhere we go. But we need to get back to the cross. I remember reading the story after the ascension. And I'm going to finish with this. I remember reading the story of a new emperor who came into Jerusalem. It was a number of years after the ascension. And he said to one of his men, I want you to go in to Jerusalem and tell me something, find out something about these people that are called Christians. And he went, and a few weeks later he came back, and the emperor said, did you find out anything? He said, I did. He said, these Christians are known as little Christs. He said, they're doing the works that he did. He said, we thought we got rid of the problem when he was crucified. He said, now they're everywhere. He said, and they're doing the work that he did. He said, they're everywhere, little Christs. And then he said this, behold how they love one another. He said, they love one another. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? And by this all men shall know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. We need to love one another. And it's only as we get to the cross again, remember the night that we repented, the love we had for him, the love we had for the word. We need to get back to that again. We need to love him more. We need to serve him more. We need to surrender everything. The world's waiting to swallow you up and totally destroy your life. Believe me, I was in the police for 24 years and in the army. I know what I'm talking about here, young people. I really do. That world will destroy you. It will gobble you up and spit you out. There's nothing in it for you. Nothing. but in Christ, that's our hope. What a future we have. What an opportunity we have. You know something? I'm so sad I was 38 when I got saved. Oh, I would have loved to get saved at your age. I would have loved it. But I know that the Lord can use even me. Young people, you have a great opportunity. You really do. Forget the world. Give everything to Christ. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank thee again for your great love. Father, we just stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love us, sinners condemned, unclean. But Father, we thank thee that he took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary where he suffered and died alone. Father, we return our thanks tonight for our precious Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, help us not to be ashamed of him. Help us not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because we know that it is dynamite. It blows apart all the worldly strongholds in our lives. And not only does it destroy them, but it builds us up again. Father, we just thank thee for this fellowship and pray that they will continue to shine brightly for our Savior. Father, help us all to get back to the cross. Help us to forget what's in this world. There's nothing in it. There's nothing good. It's all vanity. It's all going to be destroyed and burned up one day. Help us, Father, to focus. To focus on our Savior. To focus on the cross. Oh, Father, take us back to there. Take us back to our first love. Where we were that first night whenever we knew that we were sinners and he was the Savior. Father, take us back to there again. And Father, help us to forget the things that we see out there and just to focus completely on him, all for Jesus. Help us, Father, to surrender everything to him. Be with the people of Ukraine tonight. Father, we pray for peace in that land. We pray for the young soldiers, Russian and Ukrainian, being used as pawns in politics and death. Father, we pray that you'll bring it to an end. Be with Mr. Parks and the church in Ballymoney. Be with them, Father. What a blessing they've become. And what a witness to Ballymoney and to the rest of Northern Ireland. And Father, as we try to bring more of the believers over here, we see that there's a great mission field of unbelievers also coming. Father, we want to reach them with the gospel. And we thank you, Father, for the 5 or 6 unsaved families that even came to church today. Father, we just pray that the Spirit of God will move in great truth and great power, convicting them of their sin and their lost estate. Father, we promise that we will just continue to lift the Savior high. And Father, we promise to give thee all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Bless this fellowship. Use the young people here for your glory. And we ask it all, giving you thanks. In the name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.